We will be here when the other guys are gone.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner, and I'm Glenn Miller, filling in for Laura today. Laura will return to the show soon. And if she's listening today, I want to say we all miss you and looking forward to your return. But until then, I'll be your host. And luckily, I have Melissa here with me, hopefully keep me out of trouble today.
I'm trying.
It's a tough job. But please call in throughout the hour at 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And tell us what's on your mind today about firearms and shooting. Today I'm going to talk about a variety of topics, both shooting and reloading. But, you know, Laura always starts the program out with what's being celebrated on this day. And today, May 26th, is Paper Airplane Day. And back in 1930, Jack Northrop, you'd probably recognize the name Northrop Grumman Aircraft Company, he used paper airplanes to test the aerodynamics of larger airplanes that he was working on. And in 1998, the world record for the longest flight of a paper airplane was set by Ken Blackburn with 27.6 second flight. And just about all my memories making and using paper airplanes when I was a kid resulted in me being sent to the principal's office. So this is where we'll wrap this up for today on paper airplanes. So we're going into Memorial Day weekend. So we got a 3-day weekend coming up. And I hope everyone has some fun plans out there. And go shooting. Go find a place to go shooting. Unfortunately, the Cushman Range isn't going to be a place that you can go shooting. So if you do go do some shooting, and it's an alternate spot, be sure that, it's a safe place to shoot. Be sure you have a safe backstop and know what's beyond that. Because there's probably going to be a lot of folks out there looking for places to go target practice. And when you do that, I just want to remind you the three gun safety rules. Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. And why do we say that? Why is that number one? Because if something happens and you have the gun pointed in a safe direction and it goes off, no one gets hurt. So that's always the number one rule. Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. And always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. And then, of course, always keep the gun unloaded until you're ready to use it. And before we head over to the reloading bench and talk about some reloading topics, I want to share a few things about shooting. This weekend, I, along with several other NRA instructors, did quite a bit of shooting, not just general shooting, but going through a variety of drills specifically related to concealed carry. And probably many of our listeners exercise their right to legally carry a concealed firearm, but how many actually practice shooting from the concealed carry positions and with the gear that you use every day when you carry a firearm? And, you know, the answer is probably not many, but you really should. There's so many methods to carry in a concealed firearm. There's handbags, a variety of handbags for, you know, both men and women. There's fanny packs. There's a variety of holsters. There's these phone cases that look like, you know, concealed or the phone case that's designed to carry a pistol. You got pocket holsters, ankle holsters. There's even garments out there. There's a bra that's called Flash Bang that carries a handgun, and underwear. It's called Thunderwear. So there's all kinds of methods to carry guns, but you have to practice with these. Okay, you have to know how to present them and do it safely and effectively and relatively quickly. And unless you practice it, you're not going to get good with that. And so this weekend, going through these drills, it exposed a variety of problems that are common to concealed carry. We were just doing hip carry, you know, your standard outside the waistband hip carry with concealed garments. And we worked on this specifically related to the presentation of the firearm. One of the biggest challenges is keeping your cover garment from getting tangled in your firearm during the draw process. And when this happens, at a minimum, it will significantly slow down your ability to use that firearm in a defensive situations. And one of the worst case scenarios is losing control of that firearm during the draw when you also grab a handful of shirt along with the pistol grip. And this can result in the pistol being torn from your hand as you extend forward after the draw. And most of these problems can be identified through practicing what you carry and how you carry it, and what you use as a cover garment too, because that makes a big difference. And also, when you practice, you'll be holstering a loaded firearm many times in repetition. When you do this, don't get in a hurry. Many negligent discharges happen when the holstering process is hurried or done so without care. So don't be in a hurry to jam that gun back in the holster. The same cover garment that you're using could get in the way of your draw and can do the same during the holster process, okay? When you're putting it back in the holster, that cover garment can get caught in your holster. And if you have a wad of clothing that gets into the trigger guard while you push the firearm into the holster, it can and probably will discharge that pistol. So, which brings me to my next point, you don't have to do this with a loaded firearm. Okay, when you do these practice drills, you don't necessarily have to do it with a loaded firearm. You can perform most of these drills and practice right at home with an unloaded firearm and a safe backstop. And I say a safe backstop because even when you're performing dry practice with an unloaded gun, you should still use an aiming point that won't hurt anyone if somehow a loaded round was in the chamber. Right? Don't be Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, right.
so, and never, never have any live ammo anywhere in the area which you're using for dry practice. And finally, during our live fire drills this weekend, because we were working mostly with live ammo, we did do some dry practice also. But during the live fire drills this weekend, we were practicing clearing malfunctions, okay? And this is something you should also do. And how we did this and how you can do it is to have another shooter or, you know, your shooting partner load your magazines so you have no idea when the malfunction will occur. And you can do this with a revolver, too. You just have to hand the revolver to your shooting partner and, you know, they could put some dummy cartridges or empty cartridges in there where you really don't know where they're at, and you know it'll identify poor shooting techniques also when it goes click and you push the barrel down or you do something that you shouldn't be doing. But when you load your magazines along with loading the ammunition, they load the dummy rounds mixed in with the live ammo, okay? And this results in a stoppage somewhere in your shooting drill, which provides practice on clearing those malfunctions. And the dummy rounds that we were using, they were just fired cases instead of actual dummy rounds. And I say dummy rounds, people also refer to them as snap caps, as they're used for dry practice. But one of the problems you might encounter by using fired cases is they can stick in the chamber quite tight, especially if that casing was originally fired in a pistol that had a larger chamber. And remember, all the chamber sizes are different, even for the same caliber gun. And we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi,
Steve with Auto Trim Design here. When I hear lights and sirens, I'm reminded of how fortunate we are to have our dedicated and heroic response personnel watching over us. Because many times someone's life is on the line. Chances are we've installed those lights and equipped that vehicle with sirens, comms, and cameras. I'm proud that my team is picked for the dependable installations they need, as it shows how dependable our work is at Auto Trim Design. So if you're looking for accessories to outfit your personal rig, depend on the best. Depend on Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
Enter to win today. You could win one of 10 guns from Frontier Outfitters. The Frontier Outfitters Summer of Guns giveaway is back. 10 guns, 10 drawings, 10 opportunities for you to win one of two Citadel shotguns or 8 Ruger rifles being given away between June 16th and August 11th. Enter the drawings today at Frontier Outfitters. It's the Summer of Guns giveaway. Visit the store for all the details and sign up to win today. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today. Highs around 71. Winds out of the west 8 to 15 miles per hour. 46 tonight, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Highs level off around 72. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Saturday with daytime highs approaching 75. 73 Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Go ahead.
Welcome back to Shooter's Corner. And please call in 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And during the break, Melissa was telling me about some other concealed carry garment. I guess they're made by Carhartt. They're leggings.
Yeah.
And the holster portion of it is built right into the leggings, either in the front or the rear.
They're actually, and they're really great. I actually bought a pair of them for myself. They wear and fit just like regular leggings, a little bit thicker than your typical yoga pant, but the waistband on them is a slight bit thicker than what you would think, but when you wear it, it sits on your body like a normal pair of pants would. You put your gun in there. You know, I wouldn't say I'm wearing any way like a really loose shirt, and it still does its purpose. You can't see my gun. I love those pants.
Great.
They're a little expensive, but they were great.
Huh. How would they look on me?
Yeah, I think they look great.
Okay. All right. So we were talking about some drills that we were doing this weekend. And I was talking about cases potentially getting stuck in a chamber if you're using empty cases doing malfunction drills. But so on one of these drills, one of the instructors had a malfunction due to a previously fired case, which was loaded into his magazine. This was it was shot in a different pistol, and we loaded it into his magazine. And when it fit into the chamber of his pistol, it jammed in there pretty tight. And when he attempted to remedy the stoppage, he could not open the action by pulling the slide back, as this case was jammed into the chamber under the recoil spring. So after many failed attempts to retract the slide and clear the chamber, he finally resorted to forcing the top of the slide against a wooden barricade for a little more leverage, and still to no avail, because this thing was really jammed in there. And after a suggestion was made to get a wooden dowel and a hammer to put down the barrel and basically beat the action open, I asked if I could give it a try. And the reason I did that is, you know, due to me shooting a competition pistol chambered in 40 Smith & Wesson that has a really tight chamber, I've cleared many situations like this. Early Glock pistols chambered in 40 Smith & Wesson, they had really loose chambers for reliability, and it resulted in what was termed Glock bulge, where the bottom of the case had a noticeable bulge, and most sizing dies won't address this. And when these rounds got chambered into a pistol with a match-grade chamber, they would often not go in the battery, and they were really difficult to remove. So I'm going to share a technique that works really well in this situation if you have this happen. So what you do with, and I'm going to assume that you're right-handed, but if you're left, you just reverse this. With your support hand or your non-shooting hand, so in this case, it would be your left hand if you're right-handed, You grasp the slide of the pistol by putting your hand over the top of the slide. You pretty much want to cover the entire slide with the palm of your hand. And this allows the best grip, as all four fingers are on one side of the slide and the palm and thumb are on the other side. And you got to remember to keep the gun pointed in a safe direction when you do this, okay? And then once you've established a really firm grip on that slide, you want to place your shooting hand about 6 inches behind the pistol grip and in a semi-open position. And while you maintain a firm grip on the slide with your support hand, thrust the web of your shooting hand into the rear of the pistol grip. And you do this with some alacrity, okay? And this allows the inertia of your entire shooting arm to impact that grip, forcing the frame forward while your support hand is holding the slide in the opposite direction. And it works amazingly well to remove stuck cases from the chamber of most semi-auto pistols. So if you ever have this happen, you get one stuck in there, use this technique in case you have this happen, and I think you'll be pleased with the results. It works really well. I've used it quite a few times, and it worked great on this situation this weekend when this case was appeared to be hopelessly stuck in the chamber. So let's switch over to some reloading topics, and I want to announce that I have my next NRA metallic cartridge reloading course scheduled for June 11, which is full right now. It's been full for about a month, and I have a few people on the waiting list. But the next class is on October 29th, which is a Saturday. It's not yet available for sign up on the aimcom.org website. So if you're interested or you know someone that is, please mark October 29th on your calendar. And check the registration page in about a month or so, and it should be up. The scarcity of reloading components over the past year or more have resulted in all of us paying more for all components. Luckily, bullet prices have seen small increases compared to the other components. Powder prices, depending on the powder, they've nearly doubled. And primer prices, if you can find them, they've more than tripled, sometimes four times the price of what we were finding a couple of years ago. And I know there's many reasons to reload besides saving money, and even that sometimes is debatable due to the equipment investment and space in your home and time to load and all that. But it does allow you to shoot a heck of a lot more for the same amount of money spent. But considering current component prices, you might want to do the math using the current prices before you decide to buy a bunch of powder and primers when they become available, at least at these current prices. So if you break it down a bit, and I'm going to use the 9mm cartridge as an example because right now it's a super popular cartridge. You can go to any sporting goods store right now, and for the most part, you can find a lot of 9mm ammo now, especially compared to a year ago. But the big difference is the price, right? I mean, 2 years ago, you could buy a generic box of Blaster 9mm for about $12 for 50 rounds. And I think we have a caller.
We do.
Caller, go ahead.
Hi, Glenn. This is Tom Fowler. I got a quick question for you. What does a little bit of a sooting around the outside of the case necks after firing mean?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that. A little bit of around what?
A little bit of soot, a little blackening around the outside of the case necks.
Soot around the case necks is not necessarily a problem. You're talking, obviously, around the outside of the case?
Right.
So the cartridge itself, the case, acts as a sealer when the cartridge is ignited. So if you're getting any soot or a significant amount of soot around the neck or down the outside of the case, that can happen if you're not using loads that are have a high enough pressure to seal that case, or you're using powder that is too slow for the load, the bullet combination that you're using. Are you getting a lot of soot or just a slight bit around the neck?
Just a little bit, not a lot. I just wondered if that was a problem. Of course, nowadays we have a little bit of a problem with you can't always get the ideal powder or bullets.
That's correct. And usually if you're using a faster, if you try a faster burning powder, usually that'll eliminate that. That is usually common with the slower burning powders because the case isn't sealing against the chamber quick enough during the burn process.
Does it also indicate that maybe it's time to anneal the case next?
Well, it depends on depends on the cartridge that you're using. Annealing has a lot of different benefits, but typically, you know, your annealing process is for rifle cartridges, and I'm assuming that's what we're talking about, not pistol cartridges.
I get a little bit of that sitting on the outside of the pistol cartridges too on 9mm.
Okay. All right. Well, personally, I've never annealed 9mm cases. You have to be careful that you just want to anneal the neck portion and you don't want to anneal further down.
Soften it up, right.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I kind of stick with annealing. I just kind of stick with rifle cartridges. Typically, with 9mm, 45, 40, any of those casings, you're going to wind up with cracks well before they're, you know, before they're unusable.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Glenn.
Okay, thanks for calling.
You bet, bye.
Okay, so we were looking at the comparison on prices of factory ammo versus reloading. And right now, or in the past, you could buy a box of 9mm. It was probably $10 or $12 for 50 rounds, or, you know, 20 to 24 cents a round. And that same box today, I've been looking around this week, you're looking at $22, $24, you know, or 44 cents a round for that same 9mm cartridge. And today, you're going to pay about $50 for a pound of powder. Primers, when you can find them, they're costing around $120 a thousand, or 12 cents each. And depending on the bullets you're using, if you're using commercial jacketed bullets for the 9mm, a box of 100 is going to cost you around $35 or 35 cents. So at those prices, you know, you're paying over 50 cents a round to load it yourself. So you really have to do the math on these things before you just jump in and start loading. Now, you can use bullets that cost much less than factory jacketed by using the plated bullets or moly coated or even the cast, and that gets the cost down to around 10 or 15 cents per bullet, and therefore you get the overall round cost down to about 25 or 30 cents per loaded round, and then you'll be saving money. But the point is, if you're loading to save money, do the math on what it's costing you to load your ammo based on the cost in which you're paying for components, because right now they just it's crazy. And I'm glad the price of bullets have remained relatively low. Some of these bullets, and I talked about this in a previous show, over at Frontier, they're selling the Blue Bullet brand, and they have excellent prices on Blue Bullets over there. I was just over there yesterday. They have 9mm, 115 grain, a box of 1,000 or a carton of 1,000 bullets for $99. So just under 10 cents a piece for those bullets. So, and they're an excellent bullet. So there's ways that you can reduce your costs. And right now, unfortunately, the primer costs are really what's eating us up on trying to save money. And on my last show, I was talking about some reloading upgrade products made by a company called Inline Fabrications. And specifically, I was talking about their ultimate mounts for reloading presses. And due to running out of time, I wasn't able to finish sharing some of the really good things that I found out about these mounts, and I'm going to do that real quick. The inline fabrication mounts save space on your bench because they use one heavy-duty base, and then a quick-change plate is used for all of your presses or equipment, which means when that piece of equipment isn't being used, it simply hangs on the storage dock, and it's neatly out of the way. So when you want to put it into use, it takes 30 seconds to swap it out. Really slick system, and I already talked about that. But besides this great space-saving idea, I found another benefit from these Ultimate mounts. And I think we're going to go to a quick break, and I'll finish up when we come back.
Conversation is now also on the FM dial. KFAR 668.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Several parents of the children killed in the mass shooting at a Texas elementary school expressing concern police delayed entry into the school as the 18-year-old gunman continued his attack. Victor Escalon with the Texas DPS says officers were calling for support and equipment after the gunman entered the classroom.
Approximately an hour later, U.S. Border Patrol tactical teams arrive. They make entry.
Escalon says the gunman walked into the school unimpeded and police arrived about 4 minutes later. The latest Labor Department report showing continued strengthening in the nation's job market.
The number of people filing for unemployment benefits for the first time declined to 210,000 last week. Those still receiving benefits rose slightly to 1.3 million.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Officials say all four people on board an airplane were injured when the aircraft crashed while attempting to land on a rural Alaska airstrip. The Coast Guard says three of those seriously hurt in the Tuesday afternoon crash at the Dry Bay airstrip were sent to hospitals in Anchorage. A fourth with minor injuries was treated in the nearby southeast Alaska community of Yakutat. The National Transportation Safety Board says the crash occurred as the Yakutat Coastal Airlines charter flight was attempting to land. The de Havilland DHC-3 fixed-wing single-engine airplane crashed short of the runway. Alaska Senate President Peter Michie says he will not seek re-election this year, citing a desire to spend more time with his family. His announcement comes after the legislature last week ended its four-month regular session and a week before a candidate filing deadline. The Soldotna Republican says he has spent nearly 11 of the last 16 months away from his four daughters and wife. He says his family is his priority. Last year was marked by drawn-out budget fights and four special sessions. Michie was first elected to the Senate in 2012 and was Senate President this year and last.
Online at KFAR660.com.
When you know the person who works on your car or truck, that's worth something. It gives a level of confidence that's hard to come by. That's Rogers Auto Repair. Family-owned and operated, Rogers is your complete automotive repair shop. Tune-ups, winterizing, even engine and transmission rebuilds are all done right in their shop on Dale Road near the airport. So call the folks with experience and a sound reputation. Call Rogers Auto Repair. You'll be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
It's time to get out and play with Arctic RV. Time to get your magic carpet to the Alaskan experience on the road. Need parts? Arctic RV has the largest RV parts and accessories selection in the interior. See row after row of every RV part and gadget you can imagine in their huge showroom. Need some TLC in the shop? Schedule your appointment now. Get ready and go. Rough it in style. Arctic RV, your hometown RV sales and service at 30th and Pegger.
Spring is springing, and that means it's topper time. Get your truck ready for your crazy Alaskan adventures with a new Lear or ARE topper from Auto Trim Design. You can get cab high, high rise, mid rise, commercial, aluminum, or fiberglass. Want a tonneau cover? We have fiberglass, fabric, and aluminum. We have them in roll up or fold up in threefold or fourfold. Just don't delay and see us today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back to Shooter's Corner. Please call in 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And before the break, I was talking about some additional benefits from using the inline fabrication ultimate mounts. And because these things are so sturdy and distribute the mounting pressure over a wider portion of your bench, it results in your reloading machine being much more stable while in use. And there's many benefits to this, especially if you're using a progressive reloading press where many functions are happening simultaneously and integral to the press itself. So something all of us reloaders strive for is consistency. And consistency normally results in more accuracy, reliability, and repeatable ammunition.
We have a call.
And we have a caller. Oh, good caller.
Yes, Glenn, this is Ron. How are you this morning?
Hi, Ron. Thanks for calling.
Hey, just to underscore your accolades for inline, I use a number of their products in my reloading process, and that I had been using a Dillon Strong mount and swapped it out for one of theirs, and the angle of the mount sits out a little farther from the bench and gives you a little bit more operating space for your press handle.
And you say that it gives you a little bit more space with the Dillon or the inline fabrication?
With the inline. And compared to the inline, the structural integrity of the strong mount looks like a tinker toy.
Yeah, the inline fabrication is very sturdy. And do you use the quick change plates on yours or not?
I do not. I'm not quite... quite to the point where I have to do that sort of thing, but I would also point out that anybody that's interested on seeing what you can do with your reloading process with inline, they have a full panoply of things for virtually any press on the market.
Yeah, they have a huge inventory and variety of products. Yeah, so I'm glad that you like your inline fabrication. I like everything I have from them, and I hope they continue to offer these products.
Well, and I would strongly suggest anyone, particularly those using a progressive, get one of their little overhead lights that fits right into your tool head. That's a godsend.
Yes, it is. And I noticed now that Dillon is offering their own now after, of course, Inline Fabrication started offering those. I didn't think my press was so dark on the inside until I actually added a light. And then I was thinking, wow, I can really see things in here now.
Well, it helps with, visual checking your powder charges and changing out parts, doing virtually anything you would need to do to your press. And like I say, they offer a tremendous line of products. And I think maybe the one that I use the most of all are the little locator pin tabs.
Yes, keeps you from dropping them and losing them. They work great.
You've obviously been looking over my shoulder. All right, take care.
All right, thanks for calling, Ron. Okay, so I was talking about the consistency of our loads and something that we all want to achieve, and something that we all pay close attention to are the powder charges, right? We always try to get our powder charges as consistent as possible as we get that introduced into the cartridges, and varying the powder charge by just a few tenths of a grain will result in measurable differences in velocity and accuracy. And just about all progressive reloading presses have the powder hopper and the dispenser mounted where? At the top of the press, right? Where any of the movement of the press is amplified. So when this happens, when your press moves around due to a non-sturdy bench or the relative, small mounting footprint of your reloading press, your powder charges are being influenced by the shaking, the jiggling that are being introduced each time you cycle that handle. And if you're loading and resizing cases that have various dimensions, because maybe you're loading picked up range brass, this results in varying handle effort and inconsistent shaking of your press, which slightly varies the powder charge. And I didn't think this was really possible until I started checking and weighing it. But when I started using this Ultimate mount on one of my progressive presses, I experienced a noticeable change in the consistency of my powder charges that were being dispensed because the press was no longer jiggling around and shaking the powder dispenser and compared to what was happening before I started using the Ultimate mount. And something else that I noticed is the reliability improvement in the automatic primer feed system. Now, how many times as a reloader using a progressive press have you had a primer in the seating anvil that somehow got orientated instead of being orientated the correct way with the cup down, it gets turned sideways or it finds its way upside down. And normally you won't notice this until the primer's seated this way and of course it's ruined. With my press more sturdily mounted, I've experienced better function of the primer feed system due to less unwanted movement of the machine when you're cycling the handle. So besides the advantage of being able to quickly swap out the presses, save bench space, and keeping your reloading space organized, these type of mounts also improve the functionality of your progressive presses with more accurate powder dispensing and way less aggravation with your automatic priming system. So try them out. You'll really like these mounts. They're great. And while I'm talking about automatic priming systems problems, I want to share an upgrade that's available for one of the most popular progressive reloading presses, and that's the Dillon 550. The Dillon 550 is one of my favorite presses due to its relative low cost, its versatility, simplicity of operation. And when someone comes to me and asks which progressive press should they start out with, the Dillon 550 normally gets the nod. I started out with a 550. Actually, I started out with a 450 before the 550 even existed. And sure glad I did, as I still have one. I use it frequently, even though I have other progressive presses. But if you're going to have problems with the 550, it will be with the priming system. And this is something I've fought with for many years until I found an upgrade that works really well. The priming system on the 550 uses a steel rod that applies pressure to a wheel that's attached to the primer feed bar, and it moves it rearward when the press handle is cycled. It's a simple yet reliable mechanism until it gets worn or dirty. And as you know, each time you deprime a spent case, a small bit of debris falls from that priming cup and spent primer, and eventually it makes its way onto the track, which this primer feed bar moves back and forth on. So because that steel rod that applies pressure to that feed bar via that roller wheel is only on one side of the bar, it only applies pressure rearward. It not only applies pressure rearward, but it also has a tendency to cock that sideways. And this sideways pressure will eventually cause the primer feed bar not to retract fully and fail to pick up a fresh primer from the feed tube. And when this happens, you'll find yourself manually pulling back on the feed bar and you slow your loading operation. Those that have used 550s for a long time know what I'm talking about, and it's really frustrating. And there are other contributing factors here, such as wear and debris buildup within the primer feed bar area. But also, if you over tighten those two screws that hold the primer feed tower to the machine, it can distort that aluminum body of the primer feed mechanism and cause problems. Ask me how I know about this. I went round and round with Dillon on this a couple of times, and that was the problem. But during the long life of my Dillon 550, and after loading well over 500,000 rounds with it, the primer feed system has been replaced at least 3 or 4 times, and I do keep the feed system clean. I've even tried coating the parts with various types of dry lubrication in hopes of improving the priming system. But in the end, it seems this system is destined to give you problems once wear creeps in. And I'm going to tell you how to fix that right after this break.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep.
In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design here. When I hear lights and sirens, I'm reminded of how fortunate we are to have our dedicated and heroic response personnel watching over us. Because many times someone's life is on the line. Chances are we've installed those lights and equipped that vehicle with sirens, comms, and cameras. I'm proud that my team is picked for the dependable installations they need, as it shows how dependable our work is at Auto Trim Design. So if you're looking for accessories to outfit your personal rig, depend on the best. Depend on Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
There's no better way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors than heading out of town to go camping. When you do, make sure you drop by Frontier Outfitters for all the right equipment to get the most out of your camping experience. Frontier carries the brands you trust, like Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Coleman, Jetboil, Slumberjack, and more. Plus sunglasses by Oakley, Native, and others. You'll see row after row of name brand camping essentials, tents and cookware, sleeping bags, and a wide selection of Garmin GPS as well. If camping is in your future, visit Frontier Outfitters today. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
More clouds than sun today, with daytime highs approaching 71. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 46. High temperatures reach up to 72. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back to Shooter's Corner. This is Glenn Miller, and please call in 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And before the break, I was just talking about some of the issues related to the Dillon 550 press, primarily with the priming system on the 550. And about 20 years ago, I switched to the Dillon 650 press primarily due to its positive primer feed system, which is totally different, and it doesn't have this type of problem that you have with the 550 with that bar that moves back and forth. And that's why I was really so disappointed when Dillon changed their 650 press to the 750 a couple of years ago, and they put the same primer system on their 750 as the 550, which in time has problems. But there is hope, as someone out there with manufacturing skills and have also pulled their hair out with the 550 priming system and now the 750, they've come up with a solution. It's an upgraded primer bar feed track that uses a simple yet ingenious bearing roller that solves the jamming issue caused by the sideways pressure exerted on that primer feed bar from that actuation rod that's only on one side. This primer feed track upgrade, it's made and sold by a company called JW Systems, and they're in Texas. And it's made from a polished stainless steel, so there's no coating to wear off like the stock painted steel one from Dillon. The JW Systems track comes with the ball bearing roller, which keeps that primer bar alignment correct. It's really easy to install and set up, and it only costs $30. And it's available on Amazon. I don't think I've been able to find it anywhere else except for on Amazon. Just do a search for JW Systems Dillon 550 Primer Track Bearing Plate, and you'll find it. I installed one of these 3 years ago on one of my 550s, and it works great. And so far, I've not had any issues with the primer feed system related to Dylan's design. And it seems Dylan could address this by using a like a forked design on that actuation rod that applies pressure to both sides of that primer feed bar, as opposed to the existing design that only uses pressure on the one side. But, you know, that's the way it is. But if you have a Dylan 550, save yourself some aggravation and get the upgrade primer track bearing plate from JW Systems on Amazon for $30. You won't be disappointed with it. And after I spoke with Dylan about their change to the 650 press and calling it the 750, and they've made some upgrades to it, which are good, but the priming system's identical to the 550, they told me that too many reloaders were blowing up their 650 priming systems, literally. Due to the rotary priming system on the 650, when a primer detonation occurs at the priming station, the close proximity of other primers that are in that rotary index wheel cause the chain detonation, which blows apart the entire priming system of the 650. And I've seen this happen. I've had friends of mine that it's happened to, and it's very destructive, not only to the press, but possibly to you and the room. I mean, it'll blow a hole in the ceiling, go right through the drywall if you have 100 primers in there. It looks like a shotgun went off in the house. But Dylan was pretty good about replacing the entire system, but I think they just got tired of sending out all the parts when loaders would blow them up. They said they're going to continue to service the 650 priming system, so hopefully that's the case. Hopefully I'll never need another one. I don't want to blow one of mine up. But anyway, that was their philosophy of switching that 650 to the 750 priming system. And due to the distance from the primer tube tower to the priming station on the 550, you know, that chain detonation would not occur. So that's why they, you know, changed that all over. But in my opinion, Dylan really went backwards on this, as I believe the priming system on that 650 is far superior. Although, admittedly, it is likely to blow apart if you have an accidental primer detonation at that priming station. But I stress in my reloading classes, the primer is the component that's most likely to bite you during the reloading process if you don't treat it with respect. And if something doesn't feel right doing the priming portion, just stop. Don't force it. Stop and evaluate it. And it doesn't matter if you're doing this on a single stage press, a progressive press. Don't force primers. They can really be dangerous. And don't misunderstand me. I love Dylan products and their reloading presses. My loading bench is filled with Dylan Blue, and I love all their products. And they've been very good at sending me out replacement parts, including the primer feed parts when they get worn out. But in my opinion, the primer system on the 550 and now the 750 really should be addressed somehow by Dylan. And hey, while we're talking about upgrades for the Dylan press, let me tell you about a shell plate bearing kit that's available from a company called Hit Factor Shooting Supply. This kit comes with a modified shell plate holding bolt and the advanced R, along with a roller bearing kit. When you install this kit, it allows you to run your shell plate much tighter without binding, which means less possible variations in the finished cartridge overall length, and it gives the priming station a much more positive feel, as the shell plate isn't moving around, you know, moving up as you prime the casing. And I installed these kits on my 550s, my 650, and I've been really happy with them. And besides tightening up the tolerances caused by, you know, having to run the shell plate with a little slop to avoid that binding, advancing the shell plate now is really smooth due to that roller bearing, and it just has a much nicer and more precise feel to it. So these kits can be found on Amazon also. They're $37, And again, and it doesn't matter if it's for the 550 or the 650 or the 750, they're all the same, $37. And again, this company is called Hit Factor Shooting Supply. Okay, so let's stop picking on Dillon Precision. And I want to share a little reloading tip on setting up your crimp die. So if you load pistol ammo, you know you should flare the case mouth before seating the bullet. This is done to prevent shaving the finish off the bullet during the seating operation. And most of the time, if you fail to flare the case, you will ruin that case as you try to seat that bullet, as it normally collapses the case wall.
We have a call.
And we have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Glenn, this is Ron one more time. You were talking about, what was it? The smoothing out there with the kit from Amazon.
Which one? The bearing kit or the roller?
The bearing kit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, that's a bugaboo for me because I have broken an indexer ring in the past, and it would seem to me you could get a tighter fit without the risk of binding up and breaking that ring.
So this upgrade for the shell plate, it's got a roller bearing in there, so you can tighten that center bolt down that holds your shell plate. You can tighten that down quite far so that there's virtually no slop in your shell plate.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good deal. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, and it's called the company that sells it. It's called Hit Factor Shooting Supply, and they're on Amazon. And I just looked them up this week again, and they're still $37 for those.
I'll check it out. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Okay, so we were talking about seating bullets and introducing a case flare and setting up your crimp die. So what you want to do is, obviously, after you flare your case, you want to make sure that that flare is eliminated. If you don't, it's not going to chamber properly. If you put too much crimp in it, you may damage the bullet. So after you seat your bullet, that flare which you've introduced, it needs to be eliminated to prevent feeding issues. And most loaders do this by slowly advancing their crimp die or their crimping portion of the seating die until the flare is gone. And you can either eyeball it. Some people use calipers to measure the case mouth. And a simple and positive way to assure you've eliminated any flare, and it'll feed into the chamber of that caliber gun, is use a case gauge. Using the case gauge to set up your crimp die or the crimping portion of your seating die, it'll save you a lot of problems when you get to the range. I've done this. I've set my crimping die just eyeballing it or feeling it, and then I put them in the case gauge, and it's not enough. So I got to go back and recrimp them all. So just use the case gauge first and save yourself some aggravation. Eyeballing the case for a proper crimp, it's okay to start with, but in the end, use a case gauge to verify you've eliminated that case flare. It's just a positive way to do it. And if you over-crimp some of your bullets, such as Molly or the high-tech coated bullets, it can negatively affect accuracy as it can damage the coating. So don't think you can just, tighten your crimp die up until you squeeze the death out of the case and you're good. Because you can negatively affect the accuracy on some of these bullets today, the plated ones, the Molly coated high-tech. And so, of course, under-adjusting the crimp die and not completely eliminating the case flare, it'll cause feeding problems in your handgun, especially if you've got a tight chamber. So use your case gauge, just an easy way to do it. And I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again, in hopes of saving reloaders the aggravation, but some decapping pins on your sizing dies are really getting abused by this Norma 9mm pistol brass. They have primer flash holes that are real small, and they don't allow the standard decapping pins to fit through them. And I continue to find these casings. And anyway, I think we're at the end of the show, and We'll see you next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. You can now find the legendary KFAR on the FM dial at 97.5 in full stereo. KFAR.